If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just past the halfway point of Holy Week, 7 days which are saturated with the Passion of Christ, Maundy Thursday stands out as a day in which it appears that the mood shifts and the tone brightens. Maundy Thursday is the day in which the Church celebrates the institution of Holy Communion, the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ given to the Church by the very head of the Church, Jesus Christ himself. Indeed, the sacrament is instituted with a commandment, not an option. That is, do this in remembrance of me. It is a commandment, a mandate, a mandatum. And indeed, mandatum is the word from which the day Maundy, Thursday, gets its name. But Jesus's immovable commandment, do this in remembrance of me, is not the mandate from which Maundy Thursday was named. The name comes from another mandate from our Lord given on the same night as the institution of the sacrament. In the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, from which we've heard tonight, Jesus does something that St. Peter is not so crazy about. Jesus takes a basin of water and a towel around his waist and stoops down to wash his disciples' feet. And St. Peter doesn't like this one bit. He's been calling Jesus Lord and Master, as Jesus points out. And he is starting to see that if Jesus is really their Lord and Master, and they are his disciples, then either they have a Lord and Master who does not understand his own royal and elevated position, who does not understand that only the lowliest servant washes feet, or Peter is the disciple of a servant, the apprentice of one who makes himself of no reputation. A disciple, an apprentice, imitates the master. And the message that Peter's getting here is that either his master doesn't understand what it is to be a master, and that's starting to be less and less likely, or serving others is in Peter's future. And even though the tradition of the foot washing on Maundy Thursday has taken the name the Maundy through the centuries, this practice is still not the mandate from which the day takes its name. The mandate from Maundy Thursday is derived from what happens a few verses later, probably a few moments later. And it is a command that sums up both the foot washing, the essence of it, and the institution of Holy Communion, and it has everything to do with servanthood, and it has something to do with Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot sits at the table with the rest of the disciples. Jesus knows what Judas is going to do, even in the midst of that first Holy Communion, and it's going to be a betrayal. And by this, we are disgusted. Knowing that this betrayal is close, Jesus even tells Judas, what you do, do quickly. And now at this moment, when Jesus is betrayed by his disciple, and his disciple goes out to work the evil betrayal, Jesus says something to the rest of the disciples who remain. A new commandment I give to you. And what would we expect a person to say in those circumstances? If it was you or me, the new commandment would be careful who you take as your disciple. Be careful who you call your friend. This Judas has been a real disappointment, and that's the new commandment. Our new commandment would be, don't be so trusting. But that is not Jesus' new command. Rather, the words that so quickly follow a painful betrayal are, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And here it is, the commandment of Commandment Thursday, that ye love one another. You can easily say the commandment to love others is a commandment, but is that really a new commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself is drawn from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. This isn't new. But listen closer. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's Old Testament. Jesus now says, love one another as I have loved you. The disciples would have to be silent for that one, because they did not yet even approach understanding just how much this Jesus loved them. They would learn over the next few days, but now the significance of the cross was still veiled to them. We should know. Perhaps St. Paul's words that we hear at every Holy Communion are the words we should listen most closely to when we ask, how has Jesus loved us? For in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the night in which he was betrayed, not after he'd calmed down, not a few weeks later, same night. How has he loved us? This is how. Jesus gave himself not when he was experiencing an emotional high, not when the disciples showed that they truly understood, not when he was at the peak of his rabbinical career, not when everyone was singing the glorious last verse of the church's one foundation. Jesus gave himself in the night in which he was betrayed. Jesus gave himself with a fresh wound of betrayal, just inflicted moments before. And knowing that St. Peter's betrayal was soon to come, and in fact that everyone sitting in that room would flee from him and pretend that they were strangers, it is the feet of these ones that Jesus stooped down to wash, those feet that would run. And to these ones who would flee under the threat of persecution, he commands, love one another, not as you love yourself, not as you love each other, not as you love me, as I have loved you. When you love those who love you, that's not loving one another as Christ loved you. When you love people as long as they don't betray you, this is not loving one another as Christ loved you. When you love one another only after trust has been established, after years and years of camaraderie, you're not loving as Christ loved you. What is it like to love one another as Jesus loved, to follow the commandment of Maundy Thursday? Good question. There's a moment in our liturgy when those who are listening closely will hear a breaking sound. Liturgists call it the fraction. In most of our churches, the moment comes right after the Lord's Prayer. The priest's host is broken over the chalice in imitation of the action of Christ in the upper room. Christ took bread, he blessed it, and broke it. And when we hear that bread break, we're reminded that the body of Christ was broken. It was sacrificed on behalf of those who didn't understand, those who were afraid of the consequences of knowing Jesus, and those who would betray him. Jesus, surrounded by those who would betray him, held up the bread that would be his body and broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." And when that body was broken, he prayed from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How are we to love one another? How are we to obey a command like that, like this? And he has also loved us this way. Here is our commandment. To those who don't understand you, those who persecute you, and those who betray you when it hurts you the most, allow yourself to be broken for them. He was broken for us. He was willing to be betrayed for us. He was abandoned and deserted for us. He knelt down and washed the feet of those who would hurt him. And he says right out loud to them the commandment of Maundy Thursday, love one another as I have loved you. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.